Yes, yes, yes. It's fair to say I am in a bit of a Powerball funk this morning. How about you? Did I really expect to win? No. But I maybe a little bit, because my wife and I had some bags packed by the front door and had an email ready to be shot off to Expedia for a couple of tickets to Fiji with no return date. Yeah, so I guess I was expecting a win. Maybe buy the Giants, put all these rumors to rest. Who's going to be the coach? I'll tell you who will be the coach if I bought the team, which it's not going to happen. And by the way, if you are a Giant fan, looks like Coughlin's going to be going down the turnpike to Philadelphia, baby. Yeah, kind of to their nemesis in the same division. I know that league rather well. I'm Mark Farrell. It's kind of a crappy Thursday if your numbers weren't the ones that... No, I'm just kidding. I'm not that bummed out. It's fun. Powerball Mania was a lot of fun. But there actually is a winner in my area, my county. So after the show, I will be checking my ticket. I thought I didn't want to, you know, go through the process of getting too crestfallen and knowing that I didn't win the big, big number, but still come out a millionaire or win 50K or so. Until after like midday or so, I have the ticket. My wife said, check it. I said, no. I need something to look forward to. I got to dangle that carrot. You know what I mean? Are you that dangling the carrot type of person? Need something to always look forward to? Yeah, that's kind of me. And I'm actually looking forward to speaking to a great guest today, Stephanie Alves. I read about Stephanie and her incredible company a couple months ago. She started a clothing line for persons with disabilities, a denim line, to be more specific, a fashionable adaptive denim collection for people with limited mobility and children with sensory perception disorder. She had a brother, has a brother, who was disabled growing up, and he had a really difficult time getting dressed, and a sister-in-law who also became confined to a wheelchair. And so she realized that with her 25 years experience being a top fashion designer, she's worked for Gap Kids and Taylor Loft, Limited 2, and her line itself has appeared in Saks Fifth Avenue. So she's got some real good chops, designing chops. So she has applied her skill set to the world of the disabled community, the 55 million plus people who are determined or defined as disabled in this country. So we're going to meet Stephanie and talk to her a little bit longer later in the show in just a few minutes. So are you an American Idol fan? I really like the beginning of this series, the show every season, because it's very kind of grassroots. The recipe, they go around to different states and they audition people, and it looks like it's just definitely like, you know, happenstance who walks in the door. But of course, they have pre-produced segments of, you know, Joni, who grew up in a farm in Wisconsin. But you know what I was thinking about last night when my wife was watching it? That there's not a lot of diversity. Racially, yes. Gender, yes. But what about people with disabilities? I remember a year or two ago, I think there was a teenager who had a prosthetic leg. And I could be wrong, so give me a call if that's the case. 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888, or hit me up at mark@markfarrellmotivation.com, mark@markfarrellmotivation.com. But I think that would be a great thing, especially since it's the last season. The numbers were dwindling for American Idol last couple of years, so this is the last season. And, you know, they got some pretty good talent so far. But listen, we don't have to have, I mean, well, if their talent requires it and demands it by the American public, have someone with a disability win, great. But, you know, why aren't there? I mean, I'm sure there are people who, you know, it doesn't have to be an obvious disability. You don't have to be in a chair or quadriplegic or blind or deaf, or there's so many different, obviously, disabilities that people can have. Are the people you work with that have a disability that you probably are not even aware of because they don't want to share it and it's not obvious. But there's got to be some people out there who are fantastic, fantastic singers, really gifted naturally, but are not on American Idol. Maybe they're going to go to one of the other shows, The Voice, but that would be great. So I had myself thinking about that. but as a another kind of a music segue, a bit of a bummer. David Bowie. I mean, you've heard so much about David Bowie. You've read so much about him. And David Bowie is kind of a musician. You either loved him or you didn't love him. I can't say hated him because, I mean, that guy was a great guy. Gave a lot, an incredible amount to the world of music. And to, more importantly, I think, to individuals to be themselves. And that's why I wanted to bring him up today, because I do like his music. I'm not a huge diehard Bowie fan, but I really do like, I'd say about, you know, a solid 15 songs of his out of his vast, very vast collection. But I did want to touch on the fact that I love that he was himself. My difference makes me stronger is one of my mantras that I praise and impart upon people when I speak at colleges, high schools, corporations, because growing up with a visual disability and still having one, I do things differently. So I always embrace the fact, and you know, it wasn't always easy, that I was different. So David Bowie gave so many people like a platform and the reality of, look, here's who I am. This is what I'm doing. I'm totally unique. And so people saw that. And it kind of gave them license to say, you know what? This is great. Especially in the 70s and 80s when, you know, and we're talking about, you know, free form, love, et cetera, et cetera. But in terms of being unique, you know, it doesn't matter what decade, I don't think. I could be wrong, but in a macro sense, people sometimes are afraid to be truly unique, even if they have the urge. And this is, again, in a macro sense. There are so many people out there that are, you know, walk to a beat of a different drum. And I love that. That's great. I mean, I've always considered myself a bit of a rebel. I don't have spiked hair, you know, blonde hair and multiple piercings, only one piercing. I still get ridiculed, actually, about my hoop in my left ear. Oh, why don't you be a little bit more original? You know, it's just a hoop. But I've had this hoop since 1984. I kid you not. It's come out like, you know, I don't know, 30 times, 50 times, 100 times to clean it. But I have not changed this hoop. So I was way ahead of the curve in 84. Oh, not way ahead of it, but ahead of it. And I remember coming home from school. My father was like, what's that in your ear? Come here. Give me a kiss. He used to bust my chops a lot. But in terms of being original and unique, I take my hat off to David Bowie, and we thank him. From all the people who love his music. And there's one song I really want to, I'm sorry, I did my homework today for today's show, but I forgot my one digital device that had some Bowie music, a remix of Let's Dance done by Bowie. It's actually a string version that if you go on SoundCloud, that's SoundCloud.com, and this is a subscription service, but this song, particular song, is free. So I'm not sure if it's because it's general public's domain. I forget. Domain, whatever, after 25 years. I forget the actual terminology here. But that song will be free. Let's Dance. I think it's called the String Remix version by Bowie himself. It actually, I first heard it about 3 years ago in a car commercial. And I could not for the life of me. I scoured the internet, could not find it, but I found it. And I played it the other day, actually, in a spin class that I teach at 5:30 in the morning, the day after he died. And people, I think, were on the verge of crying big time. It's phenomenal because it's about a 6-minute version. It's very, it's moving, it's powerful. It's very, I hate to say spiritual, but I'll say it, but it still rocks out. It's an electronic David Bowie-esque, you know, rock fashion. So do check that out. And again, you know, always have that Bowie inside of you. Let him out or her out because it's a great thing. Also, I was thinking earlier this week that, you know, it's never been a better time to be disabled. Nobody wants to be disabled. You never wake up one day and say, you know what? Ah, I think it's a great day to be disabled. Oh, what am I going to do? No. But for myself, I can only speak for myself. It's never been such a great time in 2016, 2015 to have a disability. And speaking for myself with a permanent visual impairment, there are so many different things that make my life so much easier that I wasn't able to do or could do, but with much more effort involved many years ago. For example, iPhone. It's great. I mean, I can have make contacts really large. I can have them audible. So Mac products, iPhone or Apple in general, do a great job for accessibility. Features are just really kind of off the charts. And that's been very, very helpful. I mean, the technological advances with iPad, iPhones, the big displays, audible displays. I mean, I can get in my car now and hit a button and say, directions to PRN FM New York City. And within 5 seconds, it'll say, okay, PRN.FM New York City, located at, and it'll give me the directions step by step. So it's my co-pilot. So last week, if you remember, I told you I found out about an app that would be a speedometer. So it would be as large as my screen. I have the iPhone 5, and this is not a, it sounds like a commercial for Apple products today, but you know, accessibility is everything, so they do a great job with it. Other brands are catching up, but this is who I have right now, so I like to tout, you know, what I know and pass the word on to you, because whether you have a visual impairment or not, it's really cool to have a, I have a car that's 2015, so it's basically new. But for me, when I drive, I have a telescopic device, you know, a telescopic lens like your dentist or surgeon wears. Not that you hopefully have a surgeon that you call your own, because that would mean that you're having a lot of surgeries. But it's hard to read a lot of analog, for me certainly, speedometers. And of course, they're there for reasons. So you drive the right speed limit, you don't get tickets, you know, increased insurance, yada, yada, yada. So after I spoke last week to you on the air, I was able to find it and was actually able to download it for my phone. I didn't think it was going to be applicable. So here I am. I'm riding down the road. This is like a dream come true, guys. I have my speedometer, digital speedometer. I lean my iPhone right against my dashboard, right behind my steering wheel. It sits perfectly. And this thing is larger than life. I am absolutely in love with this. Now, I have to remember to take my eyes off the speedometer once in a while, look at the road. It was the opposite before. Always looking at the road, never looking at the speedometer. But it's great. So if you're looking for a digital device, if you have an analog speedometer, you know, it's helpful for anybody, especially if you're taking a long drive and you're in a sensitive area where the police are just all over you. You know, it's just known. I definitely recommend that. And of course, you know, smart cars. I mean, hell, one of us or a lot of us will be driving in cars that will be driven by the car itself. I mean, how cool is that? And think about like things that are in vogue nowadays. From, you can't even say large screen TVs. They're giant screen TVs, aren't they? You go to a sporting event or a concert. For me, it's a dream come true, because here I am. I have a monocular. It's kind of like a binocular. Instead of two eyes, it's one eye, so it's easier and more comfortable. I can hold it with one hand, and I can see the stage. You know, with the price of seats, I'm not usually buying the best seats in the house. Not too far, maybe midway or three quarters of the way back. But I still can't see certainly nearly as well as the person next to me or behind me. But so the advent of these digital LED screens are phenomenal. Like in Times Square here, you can go here and marvel. Forget about what the ads are saying, but just the clarity, the resolution is incredible. So the fact that, you know, all these things are becoming so kind of ordinary, it's great, because it really helps everyone. I mean, clocks, big clocks are in vogue, you know, to go to people's homes. I've seen clocks, you know, 2-3 feet in radius. So the biggest challenge for me is still always reading. It takes me longer to read, even though magazines, books, and newspapers are all digitized for the majority. But, you know, the biggest challenge for me is a tape measure. I love woodworking. Matter of fact, I just finished a great project that I should post on the PRN.FM Insight page. I made a bar. I took down a wall in my house, made it a half wall, and the kids were always sitting there eating, looking into the family room. So I made a bar top, and it came out, you know, really nice. I'm actually going to put up some pendant lights over top of it. But when I do my carpentry work, not only do I have to use my magnifying glasses, like the cheap ones you buy in a drugstore, because glasses itself, prescriptions won't help me, because my visual impairment is in the back of the eye, my retina. So not only do I wear my glasses, but I have to break out my magnifier. So when I'm cutting things on the 16th or the 32nd, you know, it's really hard to read. So that's kind of a drag, but oh well, things could be worse. But that's the reality. But again, with mobility, and we're going to be speaking to Stephanie Alves in a few minutes, with clothing lines available for people with disabilities, technology. I mean, you can live in the middle of anywhere and say, be in a chair and get a degree, a master's. You could live in a different country where, you know, the internet wasn't, you know, as prominent where it was 15 years ago, 10 years ago. It really is an amazing, amazing time. The sky's the limit, pretty much, in what you can accomplish with digital devices. And companies really, really want to hear from people, especially since the boomer population isn't in retiring age. You know, the boomers have so much disposable capital that it's incredible time. So I want to talk to you a bit about a phone call I had the other day, and it's kind of an ironic phone call with a client because the spring season for me to speak at colleges and high schools and middle schools and K through 12 essentially and corporations is really ramping up. And I was speaking, I got a call from a school for the blind, and it's from ages, I think, 5 through 20. And they said, Mark, you know, they said it very gingerly and with respect and tact. Mark, you know, we understand that you're visually impaired, but, you know, our school is for kids that are blind. So I said, yes, yes, and no, I totally understand. And they basically were trying to insinuate that you're not blind, so how is your message going to resonate with this particular audience? And I said, you know, you have a very valid point. But the reality is you don't have to be blind to understand that people have desires and dreams and goals in life. How we go about them is much different. Going back to my mantra, my difference makes me stronger. How we tackle everyday tasks, getting dressed, getting ready for work, school, a date, dancing. I've been to events where, you know, the dance floor is completely filled with people in wheelchairs, you know, doing, leaning back and having a time of their lives. So I brought up the several points. There's one story in particular I tell about doing my first triathlon. I call it the Leap of Blind Faith story, where I get to the water's edge doing my first triathlon, and I realize moments before the gun sounds that I cannot see the swim course. What am I supposed to do? So, and there's many, many things that we do in life, whether it's a triathlon. Everyone has a race or a marathon, a triathlon every day or in life, you know, metaphorically speaking. But you don't have to be blind. I am visually impaired, and I have been told I am not blind enough, which is a very odd statement to make because you're either blind or not blind. You're not blind enough, meaning your vision isn't poor enough, is what they mean to say. And they didn't come out and say that, but that's what it came down to. So it looks like I'm going to be speaking at the school, which I'm very, very happy about because I reassured them all my stories and all my messaging, my, you know, vital messaging. It's about, you know, how you can accomplish things in life and how through just assistance, through people, investigation, training, again, whether it's school, it's sport, a relationship, you just have to persevere. Perseverance and, you know, and understanding your limitations. But not, you don't have to accept them. You can understand them and keep pushing the barriers. So I thought it was a very, very interesting conversation. And I enjoyed their input because I like to be challenged. Certainly, we all like to be challenged at certain times. I don't like to lose, you know, a job over being challenged. But I understand their point, and I'm sure a lot of people maybe think that potential clients I speak with, but don't actually articulate their, you know, precise feelings. But I'm glad they did, and I'm hopeful that it's going to work out because I've spoken to many blind schools, schools for the blind, and you know, I really enjoy it because they get a lot out of it. Because my story, you know, they're motivating and they're inspiring and they're funny as hell. So Stephanie Alves, I told you about, the head of the show, she's going to be coming up after the break. She is a designer, denim. She's designed some great fashionable adaptive denim collection for people with limited mobility and children with sensory perception disorders and more. And could you imagine? I mean, I love jeans. I live in jeans for, you know, most of my life here. I mean, if jean diapers existed, I would have been wearing jean diapers. Maybe that's something I can develop. But anyway, could you imagine being
disabled, maybe say newly disabled, and it's very difficult for you to get ordinary jeans on. Just a simple thing like wearing jeans. And you couldn't do it for many, many years. And all of a sudden, someone designed something that's accessible and easy for you to wear. And voila, you can wear one of your most favorite items. And we're going to talk about that next when Insight continues on PRN.FM.
This is PRN.FM. Giving you a daily progressive take on the world.
This is Mike Fader. I want to tell you about my show, The Turning Point, broadcast every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern on PRN.FM. It's not just politics or pop culture or art or personal essays or storytelling. It's all of those. And it's in a spontaneous blend of stream of consciousness expression. It's not bad. Sex, children, work, beauty, ecstasy, death, regeneration. That's The Turning Point every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern on PRN.FM. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us. Now, you don't have to come with us, but what would the neighbors say?
Carrie Harrison with you, inviting you to join me on The Smart Show every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're not able to catch me live, you can go to the archives at PRN.FM or Harrison.FM. Don't forget, it's impeccable behavior to rate the show on iTunes. We come to you each Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, live from Hollywood, where we bring on the movers and shakers, whistleblowers and muckrakers. There's nothing like it anywhere else, and it's here on PRN.FM. If you like a smart show, then join me, Carrie Harrison. It's Harrison on the Progressive Radio Network. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
This is PRN, for the Progressive Radio Network.
No doubt it's January, New York City here. Whoa, I thought it was supposed to be 40 degrees today. It's about 25. I'm severely underdressed. Still warming up coming in from off the streets. Always love to hear from you. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Founder and CEO and designer of ABL Denim, inclusive design business dedicated to providing clothing design solutions for people with special needs. My guest right now is Stephanie Alves. Stephanie, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Mark?
Did I get your name correct this time?
You did.
Oh,
thank
good.
You very much.
You're quite welcome. How's the weather on the West Coast? Any rain out there?
No. You really want me to go on about that?
No, not really, but just we'll keep
okay,
our fingers
good.
Crossed. We'll do a little bit of a rain dance in the next 25 minutes during our conversation. So, you know,
well, the sun is fine, isn't so bad.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? Especially when it's 25 degrees out here, the sun is here, and I'm really happy about that. So you did something very, very unique. You actually listened to your mother because at 10 years old, you loved to sew. And then you have a brother with a disability. And she said to you, maybe off the cuff one day, hey, why don't you design something that your brother would be able to wear?
That is true, except it took me decades to listen to her.
Well, that's pretty normal, right?
probably so, but yes, in the long run, she was right. I did start my career basically in the fashion industry because I wanted to do fashion. I wanted to see what I had in my head as a designer. And it wasn't until decades later when my stepsister became a wheelchair user due to two back surgeries that caused nerve damage. And she expressed that she really wasn't getting dressed because clothing was just too difficult to get in and out of. So only for special occasions would she actually get dressed, and was living in scrubs. So I looked at her clothing and I thought, well, what if I made them easier to get in and out of? And she said, well, sure, that would be great. So I then started to look around online to see what was out there. And the only clothing was really either hospital clothing or clothing for seniors. And while, of course,
not
that's
too appealing.
Necessary. But, you know, there are many people of all ages that want to wear the clothing they either wore before or just clothing that's in style. So whether somebody has a medical condition from a young age or from a later age or is hurt in an accident where their life changes instantly, you know, clothing is something many people take for granted.
Mm, sure.
Their biggest problem is, can they afford something they like? Can they get the same style that their friend is wearing? Something so kind of we take for granted. And for people who have trouble getting dressed every day, functionality is as important, if not more so, than the styling.
Well, it's interesting that, you know, you had this concept, this epiphany, and instead of diving headfirst into it, which I'm sure you could have with your vast experience as a fashion designer, you took a very, very interesting and very smart, intelligent first step. You started sewing by modifying people's clothes to find out what would their needs were and what actually in your mind would work on a larger scale, I imagine.
Yeah, I actually had to do that, Mark, because as a fashion designer, you have to be very technical. You have to understand garment construction, how things are made and so on, and all the details. But I really didn't know enough about the challenges that people face with different disabilities. So I had to research that. So by starting what is essentially a tailoring business, whereas just as if you were to take your pants around the corner to be hemmed, I had to see what specific problems people had when they had specific conditions or issues so that I could come up with the right solution. Then in time, I had seen a good cross-section enough to say, okay, I can make a few styles now that address a cross-section of needs. So, I mean, that was essential, actually, because I didn't need to make just a nice looking pair of jeans that worked for a few people. They had to have a reason to be. There are plenty of jean lines out in the market already, and that people who either are wheelchair users or have dexterity issues, limited mobility, they just have too much trouble wearing them, So it really had to have functionality.
Well, at one point, did you realize that denim was the key success behind you're going to be your new driving force in your line?
Well, what I did with the tailoring business, I did the Abilities Expo, which is the largest trade show for people with disabilities. It's actually a business to consumer show. It's in 5 cities across the U.S. I took a table one year with the tailoring business, and I basically asked everybody, what are you missing? What can't you wear that you want to wear? What's the piece of clothing that you have the most difficulty with? And people came up with all kinds of answers, and everybody has a different thing of what they miss wearing and want to wear. But everyone said jeans. So I said, well, that's what I'll start with then.
That's jeans. Great. I mean, jeans are so ubiquitous. I mean, from Obama to, you know, the hot dog vendor around the corner.
I know. I think it's written into the Constitution that Americans have to have jeans.
Actually, the Constitution's anyway. Written on denim.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
So, and of course, denim is a hard one to tackle to make them more comfortable. So there was a lot of research done and a lot of trial and error. And of course, testing the pieces on people with disabilities, especially wheelchair users, because while most of the styles work for people, whether they are ambulatory or seated, they have to work for somebody who is seated. Because when somebody is seated all the time, they must be higher in the back. There's so many issues that they face. I mean, the fit, it has to be a little bit more generous around the stomach area because some people get organ filling, which also would then cover people when they get a little older, they get a little more stomach too.
Absolutely, sure.
So they're fit so that they would be comfortable and a little bit expansive in the middle area there, so that the legs still fit nice and sleek. Otherwise, people used to have to size up to accommodate the stomach, and they'd have baggy legs. And I'm always trying to say, no, let's make sure you have a good fit here so that your legs look nice and smooth, and they shouldn't be too long because then they bunch up, and it's not flattering on you. So they can be fit to people in a general way that works for most people. If you make a few different styles, different fabrications, they should have stretch. They need to have fewer seams, seams that don't rub, pockets in different placement so that they're easier to access. They have to have a special button that's more of a slide button versus a buttonhole. That's just too difficult for most people.
Or a hook and bar closure.
Exactly. Zippers need to have pulls. The jeans need to open more than a regular pants so that people can, if they're using a wheelchair, they can transfer in and out of them. You know, it can be a big production. So they can be very helpful either to the wearer or their caretaker if they have a caretaker helping them to dress.
Stephanie Alves, please forgive my lack of fashion industry acumen, but I do know that, you know, they do have, are they called the model fitters that are actually, they just stand there and they get fit because these are going to be like for, you could say J. Crew or a Gap, this particular perfect body, and they make the clothes around that person. What is that person called? What kind of model? Fit model?
A fit model. Yeah.
So would you have the same thing in this particular category?
Yes. I find somebody of what is considered a standard size mm-hmm. or thereabouts. And that person is, well, every body is different. Mm-hmm. You must set your own standard. So this has to be somebody that is maybe more of a general size, doesn't have atrophy or too much atrophy, right? But you want somebody who is more average than, say, a fit model for a very high-end women's jean line. Well, they use a very young and very thin model because that is their standard. They want to have a young, skinny customer. I want to fit all types of bodies. So this fit model is used for actually the garment-making specifics. But it's also, that person is also critiquing the jean for functionality, for comfort. Is the jean high enough and back? Can they reach the zippers? Can they grab onto the zipper pulls if they have mobility issues or dexterity issues, I should say, with their fingers? You also want to consider in the fabrics that you choose, for instance, are they smooth? Do they work with the different slide boards that people use for their wheelchairs?
Sure.
So while you can't cover every detail in every style, you try to address these issues because you have customers who need you to know these things.
Absolutely,
so of course,
sure.
And now we really do design new styles. We're pretty new, of course, only a couple years old, but we design when people ask us enough times for something specific. That's when I start to get to work on something new. The sensory jeans was born out of parents' requests. I knew more about physical disabilities, whereas the sensory jeans, you know, 80% of children with ADD, ADHD, and autism have sensory perception disorder, which it gives them tactile sensitivities. They don't like seams. They don't like tags. No metal, no zippers, nothing rubbing, nothing pushing. Parents tell stories about kids pulling their clothes off a lot. And while there are a couple of clothing lines for kids for sensory issues, denim has always been the challenge because it's just too rough and there's too many seams on there. So I used a new type of denim, which is like a sweatshirt denim. And thanks to the rise of what is called athleisure in the clothing industry.
Whoa.
New
term.
Yeah, this is a new term. Athleisure, yeah, nice made-up term, signifying more sports clothes. Integrated into fashion.
Does that breathe
and
as well?
Yes, it definitely breathes. It's mostly cotton. So the denim is very soft. It looks like a real denim. It is woven like a real denim, and yet it feels like a sweatpants. So the sensory gene is made in that, as well as a couple of other styles that I have in the adults line. And we made these for kids first because it's mostly kids that that suffer through this. But then we started to make some larger sizes into teenage and young adult sizes because these children grow up, as parents told me. But really every detail was made according to what parents wanted and then, of course, fit on a child with these issues. So that was challenging.
I imagine just, with a fit model, the child who has autism, to watch them, because it's almost like you have to have a test focus or model group to understand if it's effective. Is the product working? Are they comfortable in it?
That's right. That's exactly right. And they will tell you they're very.
Sure.
They even make the job easier than the adults because they'll tell you right off the bat, no. No, that seam, I don't like it. So there was a number of fittings, and now that gene is working, and people would like it in different fabrics. That'll be the next challenge, is to have it in another soft fabric that works, so they can wear it for a school uniform and so on. And so that's been very interesting. And that piece, that sensory gene, is working.
It must really warm your heart because on abldenim.com, your website, in the review and testimonial section, I mean, what you've been doing and continue to do for people's lives. I mean, we take clothes for granted. Of course, you know, everyone likes to have, you know, a new look or a new suit, a new shirt, new shoes. Right. My wife came home with two new pairs of boots last night she got for 50% off. I mean, I haven't seen her this happy in years. But the reality is, even jeans, to fit into a pair of jeans, everyone loves, you know, putting on that new pair of jeans. You have your favorite pair. And it sounds like, you know, sometimes we can obviously take things like this for granted. But, you know, if you read these pages, which you have, you put them up on your website, it obviously crystallizes what you've done.
Well, you know, we all feel better when we put on a piece of clothing that makes us feel good about ourselves. So to be able to wear something that you need to get dressed every day, and to wear something that makes you feel good about how you look and how you feel, and yet it still works for you. You can use the bathroom and wear something that's in style like anybody else on the street, is a big deal. And when somebody says that I haven't worn jeans in years, or I really love these, they work for me, it makes my whole day. Of course, it makes it all worthwhile. It's what it's all about.
And I imagine your brother is quite stoked as well.
Oh yeah, he was very happy to get his pair.
and you're getting a lot of accolades, which is great. You've been in the Fashion Times, New York Times Fashion Magazine, CBS 2 News, of course, Quartz.com, California Apparel News, and the Christopher and Dana Reeves Foundation, New Mobility Magazine. You know, a lot of exposure media-wise. Did you also win a Small Business Award grant?
I did. I did from Google and Chase Bank.
That's great.
It was a competition, which really helped us move forward. And, but it's still new. It's still in the business. You know, but, of course, that was really great.
I mean, you've been in this business, for over two decades, and you've obviously accomplished a lot. You had your own line, eponymous line, which I have no idea what that is, but it sounds really cool.
And you had the line under my name.
There you go.
I shop in the East Village.
Yeah, I still do.
And in Soho. No, that store's long gone.
Okay.
And then it was in Soho as well. That was in the early 90s. And I did make a line of clothing, a fashion line for women, for a short time, maybe three, four years.
Yeah. And also appeared in Saks Fifth Avenue and a lot of other top-end stores. So, I mean, you've got there. You made a name for yourself, right? Fair to say?
Look, there are so many designers in New York City.
Of course. Now, would you have imagined, 10 years ago, that if someone said to you, you know what, you should make a clothing line for people with disabilities?
It would have been an abstract concept, although I'm familiar with it due to my family members. But I think the impetus really was when my stepsister became a wheelchair user, because then it was so direct that, I said, my gosh, this is what I should be doing. You know, it was, this is what I should be doing with the skill that I have. Do something useful. I mean, designing is a wonderful thing. It's something that, you know, anything artistic is part of you and you're compelled to do it. But to do something really useful with your skill that helps other people is just a no-brainer. You know,
yeah, absolutely. Yep. And you're doing that on a national level. Your clothes are found in Walmart, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah, we have one style that is at walmart.com online. And we have been selling a little bit overseas as well. It's starting to grow.
Made in America.
Distributors there. Made in America, that's right. Yes, it's made in America.
Is that something that was very important to you?
Yeah, and also it's made here in Los Angeles, which is the big center for the denim industry. So, yeah, it was important to me because we'd like to grow the business here, of course.
Now, Stephanie, you sound like, in addition to being a smart woman, you're very creative in what you've done and continue to do. Have your eyes continued to be open on almost on a daily, weekly, monthly basis on different ways that your clothing line can improve the lives and or different platforms like you want to see, obviously, models and actors in TV commercials that are with real disabilities, not just acting or playing the role on TV shows, et cetera. Because I find it to be, once you start getting into this field, the disability field, where over 55 million people with disabilities in America reside, you know, and that runs the gamut, that it becomes more of like, what can I do? How can we take this to the next level and help more and more people? And visibility is huge.
Oh, yeah. It's really great to see that there's been major changes in the inclusivity, I should say, right?
Mm-hmm.
From all walks of life. And you know, finally, after, well, it's ADA 25 this year, celebrating the Americans with Disabilities Act. But the fact that there are so many more people with disabilities used as models and shown having mainstream jobs, acting jobs, and so on, is really how it should be. Everyone's different. People don't understand that unless they know somebody who has a disability. And yet it can be anyone. And there are many you can't see their disabilities and you don't know. And many people may be hurt in an accident and all of a sudden people look at them differently. And there's no change in who they are, their mind. They are certainly going through something a lot more extreme. So why shouldn't they have daily living aids happen to make them feel good at the same time? Another thing that we are doing is we're working on a wearable tech idea, and that's in the sensory arena for children. And that's going to take a few years.
Well, good. A good segue to my idea for you. So I'm visually impaired, and I have some friends that are blind or visually impaired worse off than I am, and I've never asked them, how do they actually get dressed? And I kind of know because of things I've read. But would there be a product line, potential product line, where things are kind of like built in so you know what colors things are and you kind of make a collection that are all interchangeable for people who are blind or visually impaired?
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
You heard it here on Insight. What's today's date? Yeah. 14th of January, 2016. I'll just take a small royalty fee. That's all.
Noted.
Because as you heard probably at the beginning, you know, neither you or I won the Powerball. So, you know, I wanted to really go to Fiji.
That's right. I know. That's right. But instead, we can make another line of clothes. There are so many things that can be done. And you just have to take it one step at a time and take that idea. And actually, if you believe in it, just run with it. And you have to push for it to make it happen.
You know, as I mentioned before, it's never been, no one wants to be disabled, but there's never been a better time to be disabled. And point in fact here is like Handy Strong magazine. It's a very glamorous magazine, glossy, high-end, where people are, you know, the models in there. It's all about life, reality, mm-hmm. employment, accessibility, information. And that is a great platform for, you know, your product to be promoted, because the community really, once they grasp a product that they love, it just spreads like wildfire.
Yeah, I think it takes a little bit longer in the disability community. People want to know and trust that you really are able to deliver a product that does what it says it's going to do. Because if they like you, they're going to support you. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work for them, that's it. They'll say no.
Yeah, no second chances.
In the sense that fashion business is very fickle. There's a new line around the corner every minute. If you don't like one, you can go to another. There's so much to choose from. And here, this market is so much narrower. And yet, there's so many people that need accessible clothing. But I think that the arena of inclusive design, whether it's for your home, cooking equipment, all kinds of things, it's really, really opening up. And I suppose because the concentration of baby boomers, that are turning 65 every day that you hear, the numbers are huge. And people of certain ages are not old fogies anymore. They're wearing fashionable clothes. I mean, everybody seems to, they say the 50s and the new 40 and so on, or what's that, the other way around? 40s and no, 50s and the new 40.
You got it right, yep.
And you know what I mean? Yeah, so just that fashion it goes with the person, and it just transcends time, really.
Sure.
So there is a lot more room for inclusive design, I think, in every area.
Stephanie Alves is my guest this morning on Insight. My name is Mark Farrell. She's the founder and CEO and designer of ABL Denim, a line that's really taking off online for people with disabilities. You touched on something very interesting a moment ago, Stephanie, that I want to go back to, because the fashion industry, as we all know, and if you don't know that much about it, if you even seen the movie, Devil Wears Prada, how cutthroat it is, right? And you mentioned something interesting a moment ago, how, every minute seemingly there's another line, another apparel that you could choose from. Do you love the fact that not only are you serving a great captive community that can greatly benefit from your line, but the competition is nothing like the industry that you're accustomed to?
Right. There are so few people doing this. You have to have some insider relationship with the disability community to not only gain people's trust, but to understand what their needs are. I mean, this has to be practical. These pieces have to work. So yeah, there's very, very little. And it is really not cutthroat. Everyone in the disability community, all the different businesses, everyone helps one another, because the goal is the same, to provide something, a service for people that works for them and add some quality to their daily life. So, it's actually quite refreshing. Businesses really do help each other, and it's absolutely great.
Without being too practical-minded right now, because obviously a lot of research and thought and goes into it, where would you like to see the clothing line grow in the next 5-7 years?
We would like to be the main source for pants and jeans. Worldwide, and because it's a huge, huge market. We want to be able to offer different products for people, different price levels, and get this wearable tech item out for autistic kids. So that will really help a lot of people.
That must have been a major consideration, Stephanie, the fact that a lot of people with disabilities, depending on their disabilities, where they are in the world and age bracket, et cetera, are on limited incomes or fixed income. So making a pair of jeans not so far out of reach. I mean, a regular pair of Levi's off the shelf for what, $40 to $50?
Yeah, and of course, with all these features, you have extra zippers, you have different pulls, different buttons, you have unusual seams or the lack of seams. They're very expensive to make. So you do really need for the community to be supportive. If they like the products, they need to support it to keep it going. It's made for them. So the law of production is you need to make more for prices to come down. So when you're a small company, it's very hard to offer things at the types of prices that even a Levi's can, where they're even at $40 and $50, it's very hard to meet those prices, because they produce, hundreds of thousands of jeans. So even to get to thousands of jeans of a style, requires real support from the community. So, and the more they would support a product made for them, the better it can be, the more one can offer. So it's a two-way street, right? It's just like the old small town having local shops that's supported by the neighborhood. So we hope that people understand that we can make it better for them if they're also supportive. Yeah.
Are you still a go ahead.
Yeah. No.
Are you still a fanatical sewer?
I don't have the time. Not really. No. The jeans are made in factories, of course.
No, I didn't think you made the jeans, but still in terms of a hobby.
No time for hobbies anymore these days.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing, you know? Things are working.
Yeah. I do a little bit of handwork here and there, but no, I don't really have much time for sewing any longer. Now we leave that to the pros.
Oh, absolutely. You know, being visually impaired, the concept of actually holding a needle and even just putting a thread through it would be a minor miracle for me. So I always take my stuff to my local tailor. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like having a good tailor that you trust, especially for fine suits.
Yes, that's true. You know, there are blind sewers in factories in the South, in the U.S.
Really?
They are disabled sewers, and they're government programs, and they make clothing for veterans and so on. There are some
fantastic,
really wonderful programs that, as we grow, I hope to be able to take part in, to do production with some of these organizations. I mean, that is also a goal, to be able to have a business that can hire
inclusivity,
more
absolutely,
people with disabilities. Absolutely. And that takes being a bigger business.
A little bit of a sidebar here that you just reminded me of. I actually went to a place that refinishes furniture and or new furniture. And at the beginning of the show, I was telling I love carpentry, and being visually impaired, it's never stopped me. I've built some really great pieces, and people even say to me, my God, this is even better than what a pro would make. So I actually was in a rush to get this bar top finished before the holidays because we were hosting for Christmas. And it didn't come out as good as I like. My wife wants to put pendants on it, and I would be able to see the brush strokes. So I'm like, no way, I got to get it redone. So I take it to this place down the shore in New Jersey, and these guys are great, and they do a wonderful job. And on the way out, I said, wow, this is really beautiful. It was like a 3x5 wooden flag, made out of almost like a butcher block style, with where the stars and stripes would be were either light wood or a mahogany wood. And long story short, the actual star portions were raised stars, all made out of wood. I inquired about who made this. He said the gentleman, who's about 30 years old, is blind and deaf.
Wow, that's something.
And he said to me, when he dropped it off through his assistant, he said to me, there's a little bit of a niche, a void that needs to be filled in. He goes, Mark, it took me about 10 minutes to find this thing. That's how almost imperceptible it was. So, I mean, the talent out there is just unbelievable. You can do what you want. It's going to take you longer to get to that skill level, and we all have different interests in life, but it just boggles the mind what one can do with or without, one of your senses intact.
Yeah, desire counts for a lot.
Certainly does. Stephanie Alves, real pleasure having you on. Thank you for doing what you do, and giving people the ability to wear jeans is almost like comfort food on your body,
Thank you, Mark. That's kind. I really appreciate that. Thank
and
you.
People need to visit abldenim.com, abldenim.com. Mm-hmm. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell people that ABL stands for Adaptive Brand and Lifestyle. Nice little acronym there. Stephanie Alves, all the best to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mark.
Hope you get some rain real quick soon out there.
Okay, good.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers.
We will, hopefully. Bye now. Bye.
Stephanie's a great person, doing some incredible things. And that's what I love about this show, because, reading and getting all the material I get and all the lists I'm on for magazines and websites, you just come across some amazing people. And it's fantastic to learn that one person, who obviously is very good at their job, being in the fashion industry for, over two decades, can transfer their skill set to help a whole nother population. Very, very cool. And by all means, and no stretch of the imagination, can I say that I'm doing that, but in a little bit of a way, coming from radio, when I made my decision about 4 or 5 years ago, when the last radio station I worked for sold and, fired everybody, I had been thinking about, sharing my stories of personal adversity, et cetera.
And that's how I started making my business, speaking business, and going to corporations and schools K through 12 and colleges and sharing my stories about overcoming adversity, drugs and alcohol, mental health, overcoming obstacles, and anti-bullying, anti-teasing. So it's interesting how everyone has something, you know, they can contribute to another person in life, whether it's on a big scale, smaller scale, whatever that scale may be. It's something that's very valuable. And, you know, we shouldn't probably, you know, take that for granted because, you know, I don't want to get too deep here and too like wishy-washy. But the reality is, you know, we all have something we can offer for somebody, whether it's, you know, just volunteering our time, donating funds, et cetera. So food for thought with the new year, you know, only a couple days in the swing here. And the fact that, you know, chances are, if you're listening, you didn't win Powerball, so you can't take all that money and do so much good with it, because I'm sure you had some grandiose plans. I certainly did. I was like, all right, well, I'll start a nonprofit, and I'll definitely benefit people with disabilities, and how I would do that and all that stuff would certainly have to be sussed out. But the idea is there, and it's great to read about people of this caliber. And if you're ever interested, and if you have a disability, I would love to hear from you to find out what you read or what technology you would like to have improved, because this is what it's about, is getting the word out there, spreading the word as a consumer, because the power of social media to communicate this need is huge, because manufacturers and designers want to hear from you, whether it's a piece of technology, clothing, car, anything. Digital devices for reading, because, you know, this is a huge, huge diverse population, 55 million strong and counting, for people with disabilities from the latest consensus that came out a couple years ago. And again, that runs the gamut from being, you know, blind, ADHD, you name it. Parkinson's runs the whole gamut. But, you know, let me know and or put it out there on social media. And or contact the company or a product line that you think could benefit from your idea. If you think it's really good, I would say trademark it or copyright it. And then you can approach somebody and or sell your idea. And that's all I got. I'm tapped out. My name is Mark Farrell. Thank you so much for tuning in for another fine, fine Thursday. I can't say it's a fine edition of Insight, because that would be boastful. I think it was a pretty good show, though. Special thanks to Stephanie Alves, President and CEO of ABL Denim. Check her out at abldenim.com, and always check me out anytime, this show and any show, at prn.fm archives under Insight. Mark Farrell saying, have a great day. See you next Thursday.